I've lost a bet with myself.
That you wouldn't cry?
No, that during the ba-boom-ba-boom-ba-boom song, you would have just chimed in with, Kevin's last day. I was sure you were going to do that, but you didn't do that.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's very upsetting.
It's really a good thing.
For people who don't know, Kevin Richter, our producer since 1971, Kevin? What did you start with us? 71, 72?
66.
66. Yeah. Today is his last day. Court ordered, by the way.
Can I just tell you, and I was just discussing this with Kevin off the air, it's hard to leave a job even when you don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've made a lot of friends there, and, you know, even though you hate your job and you're going to move on.
Right.
But he doesn't hate this job, so that makes it
right.
even way worse.
Right.
Well, that's what I told you. I love you guys. You know that. It's hard.
But sometimes, I mean, this is a good career move. You know who was telling me that? Shelley Long from Cheers was telling me that sometimes
they'll
just know
slammed you.
It's the right time to move on.
You could have put her in my game and I would have not known.
Well, she left Cheers and her career went nowhere after that. So that was the slam.
I don't know. Was it? Who knows?
Somebody wants to know, do you and Bill do a podcast of your show? I have to leave now, but desperately want to hear the farewell to Kevin.
Oh.
I can't keep the Kevin straight. Is he the one living in his mom's basement that Ro is forever screaming about, or is he the one that recently got married, Richter or Powell?
Well, for people who don't know, there's an FCC rule that every show on the radio must have somebody named Kevin involved with the show in some way. Now, at first, when they passed that law, Wendy, you and I were opposed to it, but actually it worked out really well for us because
we got the better Kevin.
We got the better Kevin, so we're happy about it. This is Kevin Richter who's leaving. Kevin Powell still has another 20 minutes left on his contract, so he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
You have a huge ones today, can I just tell you?
I didn't get any sleep. I was so upset after the Cubs loss, I just laid there.
We got a lot of texts, 312, what's the number?
981-7200.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. Line. That's the text line.
Phone line 312-235-2525.
Kevin, we will miss you. You fit in perfectly with Bill and Wendy. And added...
That's very nice and extremely accurate.
Absolutely.
My favorite was the Wood Elves rule. Just that.
Yeah.
See, that's the biggest... For people who don't get to hear the beginning of the show, the first few hours of the show before we come to the stream... we've talked about this a couple times. Kevin, you have it's so uncharacteristic of you. Like, to look at you, you would not think you would have this sort of lifestyle, but you're a gamer.
Yeah, a little bit. It's funny, too. I was grabbing a drink with Michael Heidemann yesterday, speaking to him, and he looked at my badge, which is the same photo from 2010 when I interned, and he looked at it and he goes, "Whoa, you look a lot better now."
Oh.
So I've changed a bit, I suppose.
That was a compliment in a rude way, but that's okay. But we all have our guilty pleasures, and it just is weird that he would be a fan of Magic the Gathering and now Dungeons and Dragons. Well, they don't let you play that in L.A.
I know some people. Don't you worry.
My son Michael, he asked, are we doing anything Saturday? And I said, we might be going to the Kane County Flea Market. And he goes, no, I mean Saturday night. I said, why? What are you doing? He goes, might be playing Dungeons and Dragons. I'm like, are you kidding?
Tell him to be a bard. It'll fit right in for him.
In California... The regular lifestyle is like Dungeons and Dragons, so they don't have to play it. They live it every day. It's a lot of trolls and wood elves and dragons.
Fair maidens.
Some fair maidens, right?
You're absolutely right on that.
That's how life is out there.
Is that why he's moving there?
He reached a level where he had to move out there.
Yeah, I can actually be in the mountains while I play now. Yeah.
And 630 again, we mentioned this on the real radio show, and now for the fake one, refer to the station as Kevin 20 today.
I like that idea. That's a fitting tribute. Way better than the Walk of Fame, Kevin.
I think so.
Better.
If I could frame a text, that's pretty brilliant.
Best of luck to you, Kevin. As a listener, I will really miss you. And then this one makes me feel better from 312. You do realize that Kevin could call in to play this game at a later date. Mm-hmm. He's not dying.
I don't see how that's possible.
I do want to say call in, let us know, you know, how the new job's going.
Yeah.
And we'll take his calls, the first couple times?
I say in studio only. Sometimes Kevin will present a guest to us, and you and I will agree that that's a good guest to have only in studio or by phone. I think Kevin has. I think the charm of you have to be here.
No, I get that. That's true. Yeah.
It would be lost over the phone line, I think.
I am a frequent caller and just want to say good luck and goodbye to Kevin. You will be missed.
Mm.
Another one. Good luck, Kevin. You will be missed.
Where's all, like, the mean texters today?
Oh, there's been a bunch.
Okay. Good.
There's been a lot.
Something's off otherwise.
Yes.
When we played Kevin's last blast, which was, in fact, his last blast, yeah. Someone said, I should have been your contestant because I guessed right every single time, and I just went based on if I knew the person or not because Kevin and I are the same age.
Oh, that's a good policy to have.
So it's good to know that I'm not a total idiot, or at least I'm an idiot in good company.
Someone said your answers were epic.
Or dumb.
No one said dumb.
Different four-letter word.
I'm trying to sell this to GSN, Kevin.
It's brilliant.
I've already
honestly
sent this to them, but they want me to use Kevin James instead of you. Mm. And I'm.
He would know more than I would, though.
Yeah, the game's not the same if you're not playing with us. Yeah.
Goodbye, Kevin. Best of luck. Kevin's favorite text, Wood Elves Rule.
Yep.
Just to the point.
What is he going to be doing in L.A.?
Can't say.
Another radio job. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Can't say yet. At some point, you'll have clearance, and we can disclose it on the show, though, right? Just not yet.
I would think so.
Yeah, because they're running a background check on him, Wendy, and it may not end well.
I get stuck in those stupid background checks of people all the time, and I always think it's going to be free, and at the end, it's always like, give us your credit card number and your email address. And
oh, to do it over the internet?
Yeah.
Mean? Yeah. There'll be you can look up somebody from your past.
But they make it seem like you're going to get the results, and it's like scanning all the court records, scanning arrest reports, scanning everything, and then you got, I don't.
Who were you looking up?
You.
Me? I've never been arrested. I've never been caught. I've done some things. I just have not been caught yet.
847, now I'm crying and I don't even know Kevin.
Oh, see, that's what we wanted to avoid. We don't want just people crying for no reason.
Where's Kevin going? He's going to L.A. Good luck, Kevin. We listeners will miss you.
I didn't even know this many people knew who I was.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of fly behind the radar. Under the radar, rather.
You know what's weird about Kevin going to Los Angeles, Wendy? He's Ubering there. There's got to be some cheaper way.
I heard a story of a guy that took an Uber from Louisiana to Texas, and it was just,
why?
I don't know.
Why would he do that?
Yeah, it's something crazy.
There was a cab driver I had once. I was in Boston, and I asked him, what's the farthest? I don't remember what led to this, but I said, what's the farthest? And he said he's had two different occasions. Now, this is in Boston, in the city of Boston, where people have gotten it and said, Manhattan, please. And he always goes, you're kidding. But they weren't kidding either time. They took cab rides from Boston to Manhattan.
I'm having trouble with cab drivers because every time I get in, I talk so much that they end up pulling over parking and saying, you drive, and
we're here. This isn't White Sox Park. Yes, it is. Get out. We're here.
I don't know what to tell you other than people miss you, Kevin.
And you're not even gone yet.
I know.
Think about how crazy it's going to be once you're gone.
I'll be forgotten.
And people want to know who is replacing Kevin. And even though he is irreplaceable... a lady named Jasmine Cooper, a woman named Jasmine Cooper, a girl named Jasmine Cooper.
A lady?
I don't know. What's the right... A dame, a broad? What do you detectives from
well,
the 1940s
she was going to take the job.
What do you detective types from the 40s like to say?
A young woman named Jasmine
Cooper.
Yeah,
a young woman.
Jazzy, we like to call her. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of come in full circle because you had been here at WGN for, what, like 4 years before I joined you here? And when you moved to Middays, I joined you, and Stephanie Menendez, the assistant program director, is that her title now?
Yeah.
I can't keep track of all these
assistant
titles.
Program director.
She was our producer, and Jasmine was our intern under the tutelage of one Stephanie Menendez.
Yes.
She has produced other shows, most recently and currently Steve Dale on Sunday mornings and Rick Pearson. They have both punched me for taking Jasmine away from their show.
Right.
She has a master's degree.
Yes.
I know.
I think she'll be the only producer here, and then you guys have her.
With a master's degree.
Yeah.
And because she was the producer for Steve Dale, this is kind of exciting. A couple times a week, our guests will be guinea pigs. Not every day, but two or three times a week.
What kind of questions would you ask them? I mean,
what's it like being a guinea pig? Who's your best non-guinea pig friend? Politically, where do you stand, like from a guinea pig angle? Yep. So that'll.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think that's sponsorable.
Sure it is. So for those of you out there who enjoy both talk and guinea pigs, I think the show is headed in the right direction.
The people of New Guinea will enjoy it.
Yeah, we're farming the show out to them.
Yes, we are. It's just weird, and I mean this sincerely when I say you know, we've all goofed around together for 3 years.
Yeah.
And when every once in a while something serious comes up between the one of the three of us, and, you know, we are sensitive, but then it's like you got to all of a sudden lose that sensitivity and say something goofy because it's just more comfortable when we're goofy with
sure.
each other.
Sure.
So I will not allow myself to get sad again.
Good.
Will you ever love again?
And see, this is why it works, because one of you always, once it starts getting serious, can, you know,
yes.
flip it on or off.
Yes.
It works. Well, not flip it off.
There's been plenty of flipping off, Kevin, right. over the last couple of years, and that won't stop anytime soon.
I just, you know, I could never cut the apron strings ever. I went away to Illinois State, was home before Christmas.
Yeah.
I moved to Berwyn for 1 year and then moved back to either Brookfield or yeah. now LaGrange. I've never been able to cut the apron strings, so I'm almost a little envious of Kevin.
For taking such a big chance?
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah. It
because
is.
You always say, well, what if? You can't scratch your head and say, what if I would have done that? You have to say, I did it, and A, it worked, or two, it's...
But you tried. You got to try.
The not knowing is the hard part.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I get both schools of thought, and I don't think either of them is correct, whether you take the safe route or you gamble a little bit, but... We'll see what happens.
You take the good, you take the bad.
I'll report back in 20 years.
All right.
Or maybe I'll be back in a year. We'll see.
All right.
You'll figure it out, as he always told us.
Don't you always think about, like, the last episode of a television show? And I'll use the Mary Tyler Moore Show as a great example. When they were all in the newsroom, and they were all kind of holding each other and heading towards the door, and you could see they were crying, and they weren't TV crying. They were really crying because they kind of realized that team would never be all in the same place doing what they did for years again. So that realization hits you. Wow, it's the last time we're doing this. Haven't you kind of felt like
yeah.
that all day with Kevin?
I really have. And then it makes me feel sorry for, like, the Blackhawks and the White Sox, because it's like when the Sox won the World Series, they were such a cohesive team at that point. And then right after they won, people were getting traded. The Blackhawks, after the lack of the Stanley Cup win. And it's like you really do become friends with these people.
There's never a time in sports where a team wins and then everybody's there next year. It just doesn't work out. Some guys retire, some guys get traded, some guys get sold, whatever.
Cubs were pretty close to it, though.
You mean from last year into this year?
Yeah.
There were a couple of players. You know, Derek Fowler was gone.
Dexter?
Grandpa's gone. Yeah, what did I say, Derek? Dexter Fowler, thank you. Thank you.
But Gramps
Rossi
is there.
Is gone.
He's there to kind of help out.
As a part-time guide to the team, but he wasn't, you know, he's not their
part
catcher
of the, yeah.
anymore.
But the difference here, what have we won?
I
guess we got a Silver Dome at one
point. We got a Silver Dome Award.
That was like my first year.
The
Highland Cup
Silver
just
Dome.
Yeah, you should have tried harder. That yeah. first year, you know, your effort's there, and then you kind of...
Went downhill after that.
Put the cruise control on.
That's so true.
That's what we've done.
We'll figure it out.
For how many years?
Since the beginning. Since the very beginning. So,
we wish you the best, Kevin.
Yes.
I love you guys.
Oh.
I love you, man.
Oh.
And Judy, too.
I was just about to say, I'm going to walk out and walk back in.
No, you're fine.
The Sob Fest?
Come on.
Yeah, see you, Kevin. Have fun.
Oh, jeez.
Very cold. Kevin,
that's
can you turn the heat up in
it,
here?
Though.
That's
very,
how
very
I
cold.
Never, I can't do it. I just
like
say, see ya. See ya soon.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
No loving embrace?
No.
No?
Because we'll see him soon. It's never goodbye. It's so
see you
long.
Later.
Yeah.
Wendy gave him a bunch of hair care products.
Well, he needs them.
Yeah. Wow.
Well,
wow.
No, I mean to keep up this fabulous
yeah.
do.
No, it was a great idea.
And it was buy two, get one free, so you got
you
three.
Go.
They don't have that stuff in California, so.
They don't.
Thank goodness.
You'll never find
no,
that.
They use it all up
he doesn't
there.
Get
all
it
the
here.
Stars use it all up. There's none left.
There's a particular one he uses.
Dippity-doo.
Maybe, and it's hard to come by.
Do they even have Dippity Doo? Well, what is it? Just tell us.
I don't remember what it's called. I don't
Let's rock.
Something stupid.
Rock
like
on.
Yeah. But yeah, my wife stopped buying it for me.
You
so.
Put stuff in your hair that's called rock on?
I'm not proud of it, Bill.
Oh.
You look good.
Thanks.
But she's not hugging you.
No.
She is
you
not
don't
hugging
that,
you.
Kevin.
I'm
going to
miss,
gonna
Kevin,
me.
What I'm going to miss is you're pretty easy on the eyes. So.
Oh, thank you.
With that hair and all.
Everybody's so nice to me today.
Yeah. See ya.
Psych, I'm not going anywhere, guys. Gotcha.
That's all right. Your job is.
Kevin, I just got a text from the Briskman brothers saying that what Judy just said is harassment, and you can call him after the show.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Bill.
Which Briskman?
The one we like more. not sure which one. All right, we will take a quick break. Judy has the news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Are you sticking around today?
I am, like I do almost every day, except when I have something more important to do.
Right. That's fine.
Kevin Richter is moving to L.A. with his lovely wife, Sarah. They just celebrated their year anniversary. And you do have a new job. We can't talk about it right now. It's kind of...
illegal?
No.
Right.
But...
Immoral?
Yep.
No, yeah. It's
unethical?
Just, it's
imaginary.
It's
problematic? Imaginary. He doesn't know yet?
He knows. It's just he can't talk about it. It's kind of under wraps for now, let's just say. It's pretty exciting.
Because they have to let somebody go.
Well, so you had some interviews.
Yeah.
Which I hate going on an interview.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this often. Bill, you always bring up some of the questions that always come up. Well, 7talent.com put together a little list of how to originally answer the most unoriginal interview questions.
This is helpful. This is very helpful.
I thought it might be. So when a prospective employer says, what are your strengths, you know this question is coming.
Right.
And
still, they're still saying that. I haven't been on an interview in 30 years.
But that's one.
Better brush up on your resume, honey.
I know. I'm like, are they still asking that question?
But don't you think for the employer, I mean, even though that's a trite question, it is an important question.
No, because
you don't think it is?
Everyone knows the answer now.
You just say I'm hard. I
try too hard.
No, that's the weakness. Hang on.
They're not
we'll
asking
get to
weakness.
That.
They're saying, what are your strengths? So you want to give them what they want, which is, oh, I'm a hard worker. I breathe the job, you know?
Mm-hmm. But we had to interview some prospective producers, mm-hmm. and I don't like being in that position, but you and I were asking questions, and I mean...
Well, I would assume your questions are quite different.
They were better than this.
I asked some questions that I learned I wasn't allowed to ask.
Honest to God.
I did, twice. I asked questions that I thought were good questions.
And were they like, no.
Well, one of the people who came in to interview for the producer job, for Kevin's job, seemed very young. And he is very young. And I said, how old are you? Which I thought was a great question.
And Todd Manley screams, you can't ask that.
You can't ask. But I thought that was an important question. You know, and the other one...
Because we wanted to play Kevin's last blast with them. That's
right,
why you asked.
Kind of, yeah. I was curious.
See, you could have asked that a different way.
He did.
You're really young for this job.
I said that.
So
he did a guess like, oh, you look to be about
27 or 24, I said, right?
Yeah. And then he came back and said his age. So, and
but that's a good
I think
question.
You were okay.
Yeah. But then the other one, because there was a previous question about how their day was divided. Like, what do you do? How do you spend your day? Which is a good question. And then I asked if they were married because that plays into how you spend your day. If you're married, you spend more time being married, you know. But again, lawyers came out of every corner. You can't ask if they're married. I didn't know that.
I didn't hear you ask that.
Yeah, I did. But I guess I wouldn't again.
It is because you explained why, which is even worse.
But, yeah, see, we were too honest.
But isn't that, I guess we were too honest.
Honestly.
No,
but
it should have nothing to do with it.
But you know how, like, if somebody is or isn't married, that kind of does depend on their day. I mean, it works out, you spend more time with your, if you have a family.
I spend more time with
see,
you than I do
with
my family.
But see, where you're going with that, you're saying, well, if you have a family.
Then you can't,
gonna,
you won't be.
Yeah. Oh, that it would hold you back from doing your job.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I was looking at it also from a fact of.
Right, that you're more. Oh, you're more rounded.
Yes.
Kind of. Right.
That you would have more relevance into our topics of
and
having
again,
family.
That leaves out the single people who then you think are irrelevant.
Oh.
Yeah, it is really.
While you are in a really good job right now, don't ever lose it.
Oh, yeah. All right.
We can't be involved in interviews anymore.
I can see Bill asking his prospective employer.
Do you wear pants?
Right. Is it okay if I wear shorts every day? What? No ads.
All right.
That's not going to work out.
When an employer-to-be asks you, what are your strengths, according to 247talent.com, here's what they suggest. If you want to set yourself apart, you either must wow your audience with a profound statement or use humor to break the ice. Which this one job seeker was quoted as saying this. Now, again, she was asked, what are your strengths?
Mm-hmm.
And this woman responded, I think of myself like Play-Doh. I can morph into any shape my atmosphere requires me to. I don't crack under pressure. I have a bright outlook on my career and opportunities. Not to brag, but people tell me I'm fun to be around. That's a great answer.
I hate her.
Why? Because it was so good?
It was good.
Plato the Philosopher?
The Plato,
or Plato
I
the
didn't
toys?
Like so much.
Plato, but the toy.
Oh.
Because you know what? You could mold Plato into whatever you want.
Kind of.
And that's what she's saying.
Right, that she does.
But does she smell like Plato? Because it's got like a weird salty, yeah.
Don't lick her.
I would, no. I learned that
the only way you know it's salty is if you've licked it, because right. Not like you can smell salt, right?
Right. But you know.
Who didn't try to lick Plato?
I ate it.
All right, then. You got to lick before you eat.
I still
and I
eat
mean
it.
My kids' Play-Doh. I ate. I was like, oh, I'm kind of hungry.
What's with some news people eating? Wasn't Bertrand?
Bertrand
talked about eating.
Yeah.
Well, some night, like on election night, the bosses will say, here, just a box of Play-Doh. Have at it.
Yeah. They're very generous.
They're very generous.
On election night.
All right, the dreaded what are your weaknesses question.
Again, I don't think that's a terrible question, but you have to be creative in the way you answer that question. Because if you say, well, I drink a lot.
I don't just want to say exactly. I drink a lot. I'm kind of lazy.
Right. Some days I don't show up at all.
Sometimes I don't shower.
But this is even harder.
I once killed a guy. You can't say stuff like that.
That's illegal. Right. I mean, to say it, not to do it.
Right.
This is a harder question than what are your strengths? Because this is the deal. They're looking for your weaknesses. The best way to handle this question is to spin the negative into a positive. So here's how one candidate answered. I tend to not understand work-life balance, meaning if I commit to a project, I'll complete it by end of day, regardless if I'm late to happy hour. So that's a good one. Like I can't.
Like she didn't say, or he didn't say, out even if I missed dinner with my family, late to happy hour.
Right.
Yeah. But it's saying, you know, my weakness is the work life balance. Like, you know, I want to have fun, but I got a job
how
to do.
The job
right.
Is.
Instead of I'm saying instead of I the job is important, but not more important than
oh,
your family
right,
because
right.
I hate that too. Kind of, it's like don't do that.
But that's why this not, one, more than be. Any other question, you have to answer extremely creatively. It's a trick question, but you also have to answer it with a trick answer.
Right. Here's my answer.
Right.
I care too much.
That's good. I care too much is a great answer. The one that I have said at job interviews, and Wendy will tell you this is the truest of all answers. I'm too competitive. So in a workplace,
that's a good one too.
Is that the worst thing in the world? You know. That's not
if
bad.
If you're a jerk about it, yes.
I am a jerk about it.
Do you leave that part out?
Yes, he does.
I don't tell them that part. I let them learn that day or two in.
I was always told that like you reveal one. Like I used to say, I'm unorganized, but then you follow up with like the strides you have taken to rectify that.
Right.
That's good, too. Yeah.
Right. I have an overactive bladder. I always say that. I like to say that.
It would
Wait,
be good
what?
If you worked at the Depends factory.
Right. As a tester.
All right, can you tell me a little about yourself?
Nope.
That,
see, none of your business.
Again, I can talk about you till I'm blue in the face. I can tell people I can brag about Judy or Kevin. But when it comes, I just am not comfortable talking
really?
About myself. I'm really not.
But in a job interview, you know,
I know
that
you
that's
going to
be the gist of it.
Yeah. So somebody, unfortunately, I'm amazing and you should totally hire me, isn't going to cut it. In fact, the answer might be one to cut out of your repertoire completely. One answer that really stood out to the people at 247talent.com said this. I feel that I'm a natural born leader. I grew up with four younger brothers and sisters, so you could say I learned how to manage people from a very young age.
That's
great.
Impressive. Yeah, that's very good. I'm going to use that one.
You're also saying that you're the oldest. Usually the oldest is the most responsible.
Yes.
There's a lot that goes into that response.
Yeah.
Right.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Let's ask Kevin this.
Hey, Kevin.
Don't say in your chair like some people do.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, but you know what? Wait, Kevin, hold your answer yet. Don't say it yet. My dad used to run a chain of furniture stores, and he said that a couple of times people said, when asked a similar question, I want your job. I'm gunning for your job. And in my head, I'm like, well, you got to get rid of that guy if he's gunning for your job. My dad said I always hired those people because I wanted somebody who was brash enough to say, I'm so sure of myself. I'm going to work so hard. I'm going to replace you. That's a brilliant answer.
I did
answer.
Say that in a review one time. And
did
then
you?
I did get the job. Yeah.
Oh.
I said, I'm going to get, I want your job.
Oh.
Because I.
Really, and was it up to that person whether or not to hire you, or was it a committee that decided that?
Right. It was a committee, but. I got it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Then isn't that like off-putting to the person that's trying to hire you?
I would think so.
You know? Oh, I
yeah,
don't
see, but
you
yeah, either. this was a review, so it was different. Because I wouldn't have said that.
If you weren't
hired.
Working
no,
for them
never,
already?
No, that would be, but I was so disgusted in the review with the person that I said, tell you what, where I'm going to be sitting in your chair.
You did it snippily like that and still ended up getting the job.
Yeah.
Was it Roger Treemstra?
Who's that?
No.
Former WGN news person.
Oh.
No, he's a weather person, first of all.
Oh, was it?
All right, Kevin, where do you...
Steve Baskerville? No? All right.
Where does Kevin see himself in 5 years? Were you asked this at any of your interviews?
Yeah, I feel like it's a pretty standard question, but I don't know. I'm not good at it. Because I don't really know.
But you can't do what you're doing now. You can't just kind of I don't know.
Well, I always go with I don't know if this is the correct answer at all, but I always say, like, I still don't really know what I want to be when I grow up, even though I'm 30 years old.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying the
I kind of like
path.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I like the field I'm in. I'm enjoying the path I'm on, and I think it's leading me in the right direction. Something along
those
lines.
That's excellent.
You're pretty close, because they're saying the thought of picturing oneself in 5 years from now may be scary for some, while others not so much, because they have a plan all laid out. But you have to think about this. If you have a clear picture of where you'll be, you may want to explain why and how you plan on getting there. If you're not entirely sure where you see yourself in 5 years, that's okay, too, mm-hmm. as long as you express it in a meaningful and honest manner. The hiring manager can get a sense of how you approach life more fluidly. For example, one candidate answered, I'm very excited about this opportunity. I hope that within 5 years, I'm seen as an indispensable member of the team here working in a leadership capacity. This answer is honest, yet shows there's no lack of motivation. But you're saying, you know, I just hope to be part of a team. Mm-hmm. You're not saying I want to take your job.
Right.
It's like,
these are all really good answers.
Aren't these great?
You should have had these probably, Kevin.
I know, sorry.
You
should have held back on this.
I hope you did okay.
Wait, let me test this on Wendy, Judy. Wendy, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Dead.
You're hired. But yeah. Without giving you insurance.
I don't think I'm going to make it.
Sadly, you will not be receiving our insurance benefits will not be extended to you, but you're hired.
Yeah, because if we only have to pay you for 5 years, it'll be worth it. This is a question that comes up a lot. And Kevin, I'm sure this happened to you. Why are you looking for a new position? And we talked about this earlier. It's hard enough to leave a job you don't like, but to leave a job you do like, I'm sure this is difficult. You're going to do great, but I'm sure you got to ask the question.
Isn't that funny how they think you're leaving a job you liked? Mm-hmm.
I made that same comment.
But I'm sure you were saying, I love what I do now. And so then they're like, well, why are you looking for a new job?
Right. And it's even harder, I think, when you hate your job because you're not supposed to badmouth anyone I know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This question is really tricky. Because you don't want to speak negatively about your former or current employer, but you're also not looking for a new job because you love your current one. The person interviewing you, of course, will be aware of this. So you want to be honest without maligning your current situation. Here's what one candidate said. I'm not looking for a new position. I'm looking for a new home. I want to be with a company where I can grow and continue to learn. Even if I have to take a step back, I know with the right company, it would all be worth it.
That's poetic.
Genius.
Really, that's if you're leaving a job
right.
You didn't like. But what if you liked your job, like Kevin?
Yeah.
What did you say, Kevin?
I don't even remember exactly.
I would have used your wife as an excuse.
Yeah.
My
mm-hmm.
wife wanted to move here, so I
so she's dragging me with. God.
And then draw a picture of a ball and chain.
Just come in with the ball and chain.
Oh my God.
So yes. I always made it a rule for myself at any kind of an interview to never say anything negative about any previous job I had.
You can't hold true to that.
It always worked until I was up for a job at a radio station and they read an interview I gave where they asked me they said, you worked at the light for 2 years. What was that like? And I said, oh, did that really happen? I thought it was a nightmare. And then that's all I said. And the guy pulled that clip out of his wallet. And he goes, did you say this about working at the light? And I did. And that cost me the job because he looked at that as such a negative thing. And I didn't get hired.
Again, why weren't you quick enough to say, it was a joke. I'm a comedian.
I didn't think it would cost me the job. But I did stand by my answer. He goes, did you mean it? I go, yeah. We're playing Christmas music July 10th.
I'm ready for Christmas music, actually. But I'll be dead in 5 years. I'm trying to get it in.
Get it in quick.
And another one, 247talent.com. I'm just telling you that because this is a great interview. This is a difficult one when the person interviewing you says, why do you want this job? That is tough to answer because, of course, you know, everybody wants money. You know, I got to pay
that.
Mortgage.
I like the money.
The trick to answering this one is to show the hiring manager that you're serious and committed while not coming across as too eager. Our senior recruiter recalls being told, you mean besides to pay my bills? I want to be part of a strong culture.
one that promotes, supports, and teaches as much as it listens. That's
would you
pretty
pause
good.
That way when you said listens?
No, I said it wrong.
Oh, you said it wrong?
These are almost too good.
Yeah, but these are something to keep
in mind.
As the
hiring manager, I'd be like,
But that one...
You have all the answers, don't you?
Oh, because it would
out
sound
of my office.
Too...
You've interviewed better than I ever
have. I don't know who you think you are. I think that you are way too good
there's
to work here.
There's something to that, though, like, because you're not really showing your true self if you're overly prepared like that, and every response is a canned response.
So maybe right. you take the response and you make it your own.
Yeah.
Can you say this? Oh, let me think about that. And then just go out to lunch and come back and go, okay, here's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll get the job then. Where did you go out to lunch? Lunch?
I don't think the first answer is the best answer. I like to take my time before answering your silly questions.
Can I have a little time to think about that? And then you can
right. and then hand them the receipt for lunch. By the way, you owe me $41.50.
I had to take a little
because I went to
lunch
Charlie
break.
Trotter's.
Right.
When I was leaving the other station before here, I went in to explain, I have to tell you I'm leaving. And I just don't like to do that, you
yeah.
know? And they said, what if we double your salary?
Sold.
Wow. And I said, I'm going to have to ponder that for a minute. And
I like the way they said it. They didn't say they were going to double it. They just were curious what would happen if they doubled it.
No, I think they were serious about it. And I yeah. said, I got to go have a cup of coffee and think about this for a minute. And I came back and said, you know, I got to admit, money is definitely great to have,
yeah.
but I feel like I've gotten as high as I can get here, and I need to spread my wings, and I got to go across the street.
And that's when you came here.
You already
here.
Had another job. Oh, okay.
When
well,
knew,
I was...
You knew the offer was here.
Yeah.
But they said to me, what if we bring in Wendy and we give you half your salary? And I'm like, yeah. Are you kidding? Let's do that today.
But that I really don't like, and that this is why I got kind of weepy at the beginning of the show today when this is Kevin's last day. I know we've mentioned it 100 times. Shut up, Wendy. But it's just I don't like having to do real things. I don't like having to do adult things. I just like to go through my day. I work with Bill Leff every day. I get to goof around. So then
oh,
when
hi,
things,
Bill.
Hi, Judy.
When things get to be so serious, it's
yeah.
just. Like, even in our family, it's like we all goof around so much together that when something's really wrong and something's serious, it's kind of awkward.
I know. Life, when it gets in the way, it's ridiculous,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then when you get past it, it is a good feeling.
It is.
It's a feeling of either accomplishment or getting over something devastating.
Sure.
Even. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And families stick together, and that's what I kind of feel like here at WGN. I know people say that at their jobs. I really do feel like that we're all family
I know.
Here.
Believe me, this is a family. I've been trying to get away from them for 30 years. No one knows it more than you. Exactly.
No, we get that. We understand that.
The good and the bad.
Yeah.
Mostly good. A lot
mostly
good.
Good.
Almost always mostly good.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
On a lake? In a tiny house?
Mm-hmm.
I like those tiny houses, but I'd get claustrophobic.
I don't know.
You couldn't have company over.
Not a dollhouse, Wendy. Like a
no,
just a
no,
small
pretty
house.
Much a dollhouse.
Oh,
yeah,
would be a dollhouse.
You know what these tiny houses are?
No,
they're like a, kind of a studio.
It's like
apartment
a train
in a house.
Car.
Really?
Yeah, they're tiny.
Why
Judy wants to be a hobo.
Yeah,
that's
I want
excellent.
To be attached to a train so I can ride around the country free, for one.
You did want to travel.
Exactly.
You're
it
like
happened.
The Boxcar Willie of WGN.
In 5 years, I'll still be here.
Yep.
I do
right.
see myself, yeah. It
we
is
like
right.
you.
I'll be here to the bitter end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a Walk of Famer. You can't just go now.
No.
I know. Well, I can't.
You're locked
in
now.
I can pick up that piece of sidewalk and
she's going to jackhammer it out of there, let me tell
if
you.
If I have to. And I put her on scene when walking on that. When people walk on it, I'm like, what are you doing? Hey, what are you doing?
Do you know who I am?
Exactly.
I'm her.
I'm her.
Judy's
yeah.
the only Walk of Famer that has a lawn chair set up there on the Walk of Fame so people get near the star.
I sit out there with my vodka.
Yeah. Go walk
Excuse
on Orion
me?
Star.
Yeah, exactly.
I take care of
Anyone's
my star.
Star but mine.
Yep.
All right. Well, be careful this afternoon when the police come in to apprehend Rokan, who is the LaGrange bank robber. It's on our Facebook page.
We'll see if he'll be in today because I'm going to call the FBI and just do the story.
Get the reward money.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. It says $10,000.
We'll split it.
He won't be in today.
We know that for a fact. Brian Noonan,
you
if
right
you're listening,
now.
Hurry up to the station. We need you now more than ever. All right. We'll take a quick break. And
Kevin,
then,
I love you.
I love you too.
No, I'm going to go cry.
Yep, I knew it was coming. We'll take a quick break and then close things off.
I can't end the show today. We can't end.
We have to.
I can't.
Do you want me to do it?
No, I mean, let's just keep talking. And then he
and
can't
so
go.
It ends. I like to say "And So It Begins," but in this case,
"And So It Ends."
And so it ends.
All right, we'll close things off next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. This is a song that Wendy and I wrote to say goodbye to our friend Kevin Richter.
You guys sound great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bill walks funny.
Thank you. Kevin, once again, from you know, from me and from Wendy and everybody here who's worked with you, it's been an honor and a pleasure to spend 3 years with you, and nothing but good luck ahead.
Thank you very much, guys. It's been awesome.
Great producer, great friend, and we are so proud of you.
Yep.
Spread your wings, little buddy.
Thanks.
I have to say something goofy or I'm going to cry,
yeah,
really.
I know.
You've come a long way.
I do feel that way. I'm a different person today because of you guys, because of working with you guys.
All the stress. It changes
right,
a person.
I have gray hair now.
More bitter, hard-edged.
Yeah.
We did our jobs.
We did exactly what we set out to do.
Now fly away, little birdie.
Mission accomplished. Try flying away. We clipped your wings while you were sleeping.
Although I'm not going to say goodbye. I will say see you later because I'm sure our paths will cross again for
sure. Absolutely. I'll be, you know, I'm trying to be back in December for holidays. And
we're busy.
You guys, oh, okay. Well, good.
I will also not say goodbye. I will say potato pancake.
Okay.
Which has no relevance at all, Wendy. I don't know why I would say such a thing, but I just didn't want to say goodbye either.
To that, I will say applesauce.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. That's it for today's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Tomorrow's show will not be as sad, I predict.
No, because we'll be forced to move on. And quite honestly, tomorrow we'll be like, Kevin who?
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Guys.
Bye, Bill.
Bye, Wendy.